South Hooker Damien Cook coming up shortly as they got off the mark for the season with the win on Good Friday against the Bulldogs. Narrow win, 20-16, and they've got a tough game this week against the Warriors, though they are at home at a core there for that match. So Cookie coming up shortly. Bulldog joining us this morning amidst, you know, quite a lot of negative feedback to his column today. There's this one. Good morning, men. Bulldog. They're all dribblers. Love the way you give it to those that deserve it. Also, thanks for the bourbon at the Cargo Bar after the great man's harbour cruise last Christmas. That's from Bosco Tone.
Pleasure, Bosco. It's always nice to shout supporters.
And just on the booing.
So I don't have to shout too often.
And just, you know, you've written for those who missed it earlier, and you can catch up, obviously, wherever you get your podcast, just search for Big Sports Breakfast. But Bulldog today in the Telegraph, in his Bulldog's Bite column, has written about the booing of Latrell Mitchell. A lot of texts referring to, I guess, refuting, you know, you posing the question whether there's a racial undertone to it, some of the booing. A lot of people pointing to Wally Lewis and the booing he received, I guess, particularly when he came to New South Wales, etc. So they're just making, you know, sort of that comparison. And I guess, you know, as Loz sort of mentioned earlier, I think the vitriol towards Latrell is a combination of a lot of things.
So what do you think it is, Emido? I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's booed?
I think the on-field stuff with the Joey Manu incident and incidents like that, coupled with, you know, for instance, the swearing on the Triple M interview recently, with getting on the front foot with the suspension he wanted for Spencer Lenu, put all that together and it rubs people up the wrong way. And I'm just using those sort of three. So the on-field stuff where people perceive it to be a bit cheap, I guess, some cheap shots with some of his, you know, obviously outspoken comments where people think that's not the place he should be making comment, and put all that together and it creates that sort of reaction.
I think the old mantra, and I've used it myself, the old football player, Loz, you know, just shut up and play footy. Mm. I think that's now outdated.
Yeah,
sport is now a political platform around the world, whether we like it or not.
Yeah. But people still don't like it.
They don't like it, and they're entitled not to like it, but I'm saying we should get used to it because...
Without a doubt.
I think the more power sportsmen have through the power of social media, they will use their status to try to influence and push, not so much agendas, but advocate for certain causes, but I think the old days of, shut up and play footy are disappearing very quickly.
Cookie is coming up shortly, Mitch Manners, we haven't got Mitch this morning, so we'll have plenty of time to take your calls after 8:30 as well. Hello, Cookie, how are you?
Good, mate, how you going?
Really well, thank you. And 20-16 against the Dogs, you're off the mark for 2024. What did you take from it?
Yeah, Matt, it's good to get off the mark, mate. It was always going to be a tough win for us, getting that first one, get the monkey off our back, I guess. And, Bulldogs were it was a solid game, but there's definitely a lot to work on for us. We completed quite well, very high, but at the same time, we're probably a little bit conservative and just building that confidence up again in our attack and getting that flowing again. But our D... probably the two things that come out of that is probably just need to definitely work on our discipline. Too many yardage penalties, which probably just gave them a leg up out of their own end, which is we're doing quite a good job of keeping them down there. So, you know, that could have turned into points if we were a lot better there. But one of the positives out of defence was definitely the way we defended our try line. We were put under a lot of pressure there, and that's something we haven't done in the last few games, just showed a bit of resilience there, so it was a good sign moving forward.
How different is it this week, Cookie? Because there's nothing coming out of South Sydney. The noise is quieting down after 1 week. We know it can change pretty quickly, but you just notice a massive difference, don't you? When you start and you lose three in a row, the pressure is just on.
Yeah, it is. And if you keep losing, the pressure will just keep building again. And we're a team that has a lot of expectation on us when you look at our side. So, yeah, that's obviously a good thing. Everyone understands we've got a good squad there on paper. We just need to make sure we get it moving. So it was good to get that first win out of the way. And like you said, winning always fixes everything. And it was even better to do it on the Easter long weekend, mate. It would have been a horrible Easter if we lost that match.
Yeah, Jack was good for you, the centres.
Oh, he was outstanding. And that's exactly what we saw from Jack on the weekend is why South wanted him so bad and why we wanted him so bad, because he's just an absolute competitor on the field. He competes on anything, and he wants to win and work hard for his team. And it was great to see him bring his best to that game, and he will moving forward. So, I've loved playing alongside him in those games I had before South Sydney, but I'm looking forward to doing that week in, week out. And he's someone that I'm going to look to as well and follow, because things happen around him. Balls hit the deck, but he jumps on it. He turns those opportunities into something. So, looking forward to week in, week out with him.
Now, Cookie, we saw the collision, obviously, with Shaq Mitchell and Jacob Preston, which unfortunately resulted in a hairline fractured jaw for Jacob Preston. Now, in the wake of all this, our man Dean Bulldog Richie, sitting in the studio here with us today, posed the question of whether we should ban long kickoffs. And I saw your comments on NRL 360 last night in relation to this, which I 100% agree with, and so does Loz, by the way.
I hope, yeah. Smashed him.
So, for those who missed it, just give us your thoughts on any sort of idea of banning long kickoffs or long dropouts in the game.
Yeah, look, for me, growing up as a kid now playing the game, I think it's one of the most iconic parts of the game, not just every round game, but you think about Origin as well. If we didn't have that moment, when I was a young kid looking forward to that first, everyone watched that first hit up. That was a big iconic moment of Origin when it all started. And I can understand, I appreciate as a player the thought process of trying to look after us players and find ways to limit these contacts. But I heard something last night, there's a percentage between the kickoffs and every other tackle. I think they only counted for like 3.5% concussions last year, the kickoff run. So I don't think there's much difference between those and a outside back returning the a kick return into a straight line as well, trying to whack him. So I think it's just part of our game. And it's a part where the likes of someone like Tom Burgess, that's one of his big strengths for us, is we put him on a kickoff carry, there's a good chance we're starting that set on the front foot. And that's just, we don't want to take those big players out of the game at all either. So I'd like to see it stay. I think we'll just continue to have a duty of care of, looking after each other on the field where we can. But, I think last week is, we don't want to see anyone get injured, but we've seen those kind of injuries in just any other tackle throughout the game as well.
Cookie, I didn't write it because I want it to happen. I'm just considering the welfare of players like you and the current era because of the collision.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we appreciate. Probably as players, I'm speaking probably for all of them. Like we all appreciate everyone trying to find the best interest at heart, trying to look after our welfare, not just during the game, but, for after footy as well. But I'm just looking as, I don't see a way, if you change that rule, then I think there's a lot of the fabric of the game, we will have to change them, because there's similar things like the kickoff carry where, sometimes the fullbacks are under a high ball and you've got someone like Kikau rushing down and going to tackle them as soon as they hit the ground. There's not much difference there. If anything, that is probably more vulnerable to an injury than a kickoff carry when both guys understand what's happening and it's right in front of them.
Cookie, I have to ask you this question. I've written a column this morning about Latrell Mitchell and the constant booing. South Sydney CEO Blake Solly came out yesterday and says, I hope it isn't race-related. I have suggested that I believe there is an element of racism in the booing. I don't want you to delve too far into the political side of the game, but do you have an opinion as to why Latrell is being booed?
I think I'm referring to probably the Roosters game a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to hope there's nothing racial behind it at all. I'd really hope not. I'd like to think all that was an old Roosters player going to South. And he is a big personality. I don't like it. Like, I could hear it, so no doubt he can hear it. So it was a bit over the top that game. But I'd like to hope that was just a one-off, maybe just what that rivalry game brings, him being an ex-player. But I still don't understand why the booing is. He's a big part of that team winning a couple of premierships a few years ago. So I thought
what happened against Canterbury too, Cookie?
Oh, did it? Well, that crowd was actually packed as well. So, yeah, if it did happen against there, I don't understand why other teams need to be booing him as well. You know, like I said, I could understand the Roosters one being that rivalry and old player, stuff like that, but that was a bit much too. But if other teams are starting to do it, other teams' fans are starting to do it, I think that's a bit over the top, and I think it's off the back of sometimes the harsh critics and stuff he cops in the media. And I think a lot of the fans out there will believe every word that happens on social media, and then they probably build that sort of, I won't say hate, but towards the troll. So I think that probably fuels the booing even more. So I think everyone's got to take a part in backing that off a bit.
Now, Cookie, just generally out of the weekend, did you see the Jarvaria Hargreaves, well, so-called obstruction on Dylan Edwards? And how do we fix this going forward? Seriously.
Yeah, we spoke about that last night, and I think it's going to be one we're looking at trying to fix for a long time. But, you know, we look at the Jake Jovoyvich one we spoke about, and he stops in the line. Although he's not taking anyone out, he stopped in the line and changing someone. And that's we can keep that part black and white. But I think Hargreaves going, you know, 15 metres through the line, I think that's you know, fair game. You know, I don't think we can add next thing. Yeah, you know, I think that was I think that should have been awarded a try. So just to use those two examples, I thought that yeah. What do you reckon, Loz?
Oh, the Hargreaves one, mate. Oh, I was just couldn't believe it wasn't awarded a try. Oh, I was just shaking my head, going, just what are we doing with the game? What are we doing? But some of the other ones, I'm okay with. But unfortunately, too, Cookie, I don't know. Coaches don't coach it. Well, I think coaches don't coach it, but I think players understand the rules well enough now that they know if they're in a bit of trouble when they're double D'ing, that they're going to run straight into a bloke if he's the lead runner, regardless of whether he stops in the line or not.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. I can agree. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
We know the rules, and you're 100% right. Most players will know if they're in that situation, they could probably try and make it, you know, try and milk some sort of obstruction there.
Yeah.
So I think that's just where it's getting a bit hard too. Yeah.
And in a big game, I can understand why. And they're all big games.
Exactly.
You know, your jobs are on the line. Your position in the team's on the line. So
we look at like the top eight at the moment. Like no one probably picked that top eight to start the year after four or five rounds. But that's what you mean. Like every game is important. The games you lose at the start, you know, we know what we've lost already, but they could become costly. Like the comp was already close enough, you know, last few years. But there's a lot of improvements in teams across the board. Like even I know the Bulldogs haven't had as many wins a lot, but they were a much different side, diverse on the weekend. And then you see the Tigers as well. So you're starting to see those teams that were on the bottom four showing a lot of improvement.
Cookie, as a senior player, would you prefer the rules to be a bit more flexible, or are you happy with black and white as opposed to introducing a bit more interpretation?
Oh, yeah. When I heard that last night, something about the bunker can have some discretion or something as well. So
it could be dangerous, though, when they're given discretion.
Yeah, because that's coming down to personal opinion.
Correct.
Week in, week out.
We hate black and white, Cookie, but at least we know.
Yeah. I can understand why they're trying to bring that part in, because, you know, there's, you can see where certain players, where you know players aren't going to get there, they're not going to make the tackle. I mean, fighting that sort of discretion there, but yeah, that comes down to personal opinion of those people that are in the bunker week in, week out, and I don't know how consistent we can have that across every single game.
What are you expecting from the Warriors as they, well, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's back in the centres with Chance Nicol-Cluster coming back into that side for the first time this season. They're coming off a win the other day against the Knights, and well, Wade Egan, you'll be opposing in that side as well. Well, how do you see the Warriors?
Mate, they're great balanced side. I think they've got a great back five at the moment. They're all playing well with Chance coming back in as well. But their forward pack, we've got a massive job for us in the middle on the weekend. Their forward pack are leading the way in field position and everything that comes with those attacking stats. You know, line breaks, metres gained, all that sort of stuff. They're dominating. So we've got a massive job up front to make sure we stop that go forward and give it back to them, and make sure we get a, you know, give our guys the right opportunities to get down there and put some points on. But they're playing a good brand of footy. They've been unlucky with a couple of losses losses this year and played some good footy throughout those games. So it's going to be a big battle up front. I believe that's where it's going to be won this week, and we're going to make sure we get off to a really good start because their starting pack especially are playing some great footy.
I tell you what they're good at, the Warriors, their selection of pass. So yep. if you overread in defence, you get found out by the short ball.
Yep.
And yes. like their back rowers and front rowers go through a lot of holes.
Yeah, like, they're back. Yeah, I watched a bit yesterday. Their back rowers are hitting some real late holes, you know, especially off Sean Johnson's yeah. boy taking a late pass, and they're getting in behind that fourth defender there and really causing some havoc. So,
how do you do that, defend that, Cookie? Because what they also do well is that I reckon they do it better than any other team, or they create it better than any other team. They always look like they've got a lot of space on that edge, like an extra man. Like, a lot of teams run the same plays, but they always seem to be the wingers when they receive it. Like, the defending winger is always caught in field a little bit more than what they normally are.
It's those set-up plays where they, or where they're hitting short on those leads and front rolls and back rolls. As hard as those tackles are, they're the ones you've got to win because they're getting some quite quick play the balls, and by the time they shift it to the other side, the defensive line's not quite set.
Quite, yeah.
So that's where that's a very big, important job for our five and four defenders, which are generally like your back rolls and one of the middles. They've got a big job this weekend to make sure they're winning that play the ball and slowing down and giving you that third man to get back and get the line set. Because if you don't, it's too quick. They've got too many skillful players that'll just tear you apart out wide and plenty of pace too.
Have you got a tip for us, Cookie?
I do. It's a bit of a... I thought it was the Masters this week. I was going to give a Masters tip, but I'll
save it for next week.
Yeah, save it. Yeah.
I will. What have I got this week? Race 7, Vintage Choice at Newcastle.
Race 7, Vintage... Or Bindi's Choice, isn't it?
Yes.
Bindi's Choice, Tommy Berry, David Fyfe for $11. So that's race 7, number 15 today at Newcastle in the Provincial Midway Wildcard Race 2. So race 7, number 15, Bindi's Choice, $11 to win, $3.30 the place. Do you want to tell Cookie how your multi went on the weekend, Loz?
No, I was going to ask Cookie, though. The Warriors this weekend... make sure you bring your flippers. Looks like there's going to be plenty of rain around. Will that change the way you play?
Well, last time we actually played against them in a...
Oh, you beat them over there, didn't you? Yeah.
Over there in the rain. So, hopefully, yeah. We actually go... Oh, I won't say it now. I don't want to jinx it. But, you know, like, it does, again, like I said before, that I feel like the game's going to be won in the middle with those forward packs. If it's raining, it just amplifies that even more because everything gets shortened up and tightened up just a little bit more. So, I didn't know what the weather forecast was, but thanks for...
Yeah, no, it looks like there's going to be plenty of rain around.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you,
Cookie. It's always good to pass the ball when it's pouring rain. It's always good.
Cake of soap. Thanks, Cookie.
No, thanks, guys. See you later.
Good game, isn't it? That's the 3 o'clock game on Saturday.
It's a good game.
Tight market. Warriors are favourites. $1.77. Souths $2.05 plus 1.5 at the line there at home. Outsiders at home. And, of course, Alex Johnson's out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's a big blow, isn't it?
I'm really looking forward to that Saturday night game, Dolphins-Tigers. Purely because...
Who would have said that 4 weeks
ago?
Well,
you know, West Tigers have the ability to really excite the competition. If they can get 3 wins in a row... It just brings a whole new feel to the game, doesn't it?
Jaden Sullivan into the halves there. They brought him back with naturally. Lockie Galvin took the early plea out for 2 weeks. And Latu Fainu set to make his NRL debut off the bench.
Yeah. They got a huge rap on him.
You're boring now on Saturday nights, aren't you?
I am. I haven't had a beer on a Saturday night for 3 years. More.
Yeah, right.
Well, I've got to be in here early on Sunday morning.
I know that. And you take your job seriously.
Well, I don't want to come in
Some
here
would suggest
off the
you
pace.
Don't, but anyway... But yeah, you're just boring. I don't want to hang around you on a Saturday.
You don't go out much yourself anymore on a Saturday. When was the last time you went and saw your mates at the pub?
Well, I've had reasons. I've had excuses.
Such as?
I was crook. Been away. Holidays.
Been away to
Christmas.
Holidays are the same things.
Well, no, you can be away for work.
All right.
So, they're the reasons, Bulldog.
Well, okay. Maybe I'm boring, okay? But you know what?
I don't like boring people. I don't like people when you start to change.
As in growing up?
Yeah. Get back to your old ways.
You want me to stay immature fool?
I want you to be like you were a couple of weeks ago after the luncheon. You were a pest.
He was in great form.
You were in good form.
That was a good hit out, that one.
It was. Mm. Yeah. Premier League this morning, West Ham and Tottenham. It has finished 1-1 at London Stadium. In the other matches, Burnley and Wolves also 1-1. Bournemouth 1-0 over Crystal Palace. Nottingham Forest beat Fulham 3-1. Newcastle and Everton finished 1-1. Last night in the A-League, Central Coast, a late winner. They beat Melbourne City 2-1 in that match. Just some cricket news. Ben Stokes, he's requested not to be considered for England's 2020 World Cup defence in the middle of the year. He's not playing in the Indian Premier League either at the moment. He wants to focus on his fitness and getting back to his all-round game. He only bowled a handful of overs. Didn't bowl for quite some time in the game as he dealt with some knee issues. Bowled a handful of overs in that tour of India just, what, a couple of months ago. So he won't be considered for the T20 World Cup. We'll play county cricket in England and naturally focus, I guess, on their home summer there in international cricket for England.
Why would you play county cricket, not play in T20, a World Cup?
Well, it's a T20 it's different World cricket, Cup, mate.
I get it, but it's still a World Cup.
T20 World Cup.
We won it last time. We cheered for a week.
No, we didn't. England won it. But there you go. This is the whole... No, England, that's a 50... That's
we were the one day.
Sorry, we won the 50
see,
one day.
See, this is... You've just illustrated my whole point.
But I'm still saying there's still so many World Cup for your country. You would have thought he'd bust to play in any World Cup for your country. I might have a dig at him. I'm just saying it's unusual that he wants to get fit while a World Cup's in motion. Anyway, his call.
I like it because he's saying... Basically, he's prioritising the longer forms of the game.
Yeah, that's fair. We want that to happen, don't we? Mm.
In other news as well...
You haven't won too many hours.
I've won nothing. Is it 9 o'clock yet?
Michael Maguire, News Corp reporting that the Blues camp is set to be at the Blue Mountains, the Fairmont Resort there at Lura. I drove past it the other day. What's Madge's thinking here with the Blue Mountains set to be the base for the New South Wales side?
I like it. I like getting out to different parts of New South Wales because at the end of the day, you're representing New South Wales and New South Wales is just not in Sydney. So I think it's good that they get to take the Origin team out to all these different places. Blue Mountains, they're there for the first game. I'm unsure whether it's the whole camp or just the first game. But you get away from a lot of the distractions and outside of Sydney. And I think Madge is trying to do it his own way, which is good. He'll have them battle ready. He'll plan as well as anyone. And I know that he's been planning and he's excited as anyone for the series to start. But I think it's good. I think it's good that they can get away and just focus on the footy and no distractions and hopefully ready to rip in game one because it's so important to win game one. And I think if they win game one, I think they'll win the series. In fact, I'm confident, very confident, because I reckon Tino is a big loss. I think Tom Gilbert's a big loss. I don't know where they've got I shouldn't say their depth. They'll always find someone. But those two players burn out in particular. I think they lose a lot of their grunt.
So this is a rookie error from Madge, just going to the Blue Mountains, not far out of Sydney. A more experienced campaigner who was coach said, you know what, we're going to go north. We'll go to Coffs Harbour and then we'll go up to
Kingscliff.
Yeah, those kind of areas where you're on the beach. I'm not suggesting coaches, pick their location because of the beauty.
Most definitely.
But I couldn't help but think that one coach took us up to the north and another one's taking us to the Blue Mountains.
Well, you know what? I went and had a look at the Blue Mountains didn't have the facilities ready to be able to train. So, but you know what, Bulldog? Madge will do a fine job.
Yeah, I spoke to Madge the other day. He's speaking to a lot of former players.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's spoken to you. I know he's spoken to Blocker and Benny. He wants to have a chat to some members of the media. He wants to try to get the whole state on side. And that's obviously meritorious.
That's good until you lose.
I said that to Madge. I said, Madge, it all depends on results. And he knows that.
Yes.
But until you lose game one and then everyone turns on each other, that's what State of Origin is. But at this point in time, he's just trying to garner as much support from former players as he can.
And the media rules go out the window, don't they, with Origin? You just see what the... I mean, you know, the Courier Mail, you're all colleagues, generally, but when it comes to Origin, it's bash heads against each other, don't you, in support of your own state?
Well, there's always this misconception that Queensland pick and stick in the Blues bag, but that's because Queensland generally win. When they've been beaten,
mate,
they attack their own players and the selection policies and the coach and the administration and the players as much as anybody. It's just that they tend to lose a little less than we do.
Oh, I can't disagree with anything you just said there, Bulldog. The fact is that if they lose, they cop a grilling. If we lose, we cop it. And this year will be no different. I think if, you know, Billy loses his first series, well, people will say that he's got some selections wrong or whatever the case may be. They'll come up with reasons why Queensland lost.
But that's what Origin's about, yeah, Laurie. That's why it's so big, the media scrutiny, and everybody's got an opinion on Origin.
Exactly. Yep.
Everyone
Madge's out coach Billy or something like that. They'll come up with some storyline.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the narrative starts to change and turn.
I remember you said to me once, if I went to the pub and asked 20 blokes to write down their side, you'd get 20 different teams.
Without a doubt you would.
So there's no right or wrong.
Yeah. No.
But everyone has an opinion. That's what makes it so good. That's why we pull in, 2-3 million viewers with each game.
Mm. Oh, it's the best. I know you've seen it all, Loz. I love the Dougs and Fergo. And then it was a culture problem.
Dougs and Fergo. You're having a few beers on a Friday.
Yeah.
They're doing the right thing by the publican.
I saw them that afternoon. I was in the pub myself.
Yeah.
They were very well behaved.
Right.
And I wrote the story at the time saying they had they were behaved, they were quiet, and they chucked a few bucks in the pokies.
And they stayed around to hand out the meat raffle. That's what they stayed a little bit longer than what they would normally, but that's what they were there, because the publican asked them to stay there. So
Culture problem,
yeah. But look, everyone's got a culture problem when you lose. Doesn't matter what it is, people will sort of start picking at your team and finding out what's wrong with it and where they think the focus should lie. Origin is a big beast in itself. It just generates a lot of publicity and everyone's passionate about it, which is why it's so good.
Do you think Madge will take him to the Megalong Valley, which is nearby, to do a bit of horse riding?
Oh, were you there, by the way?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, you would have been.
Yeah.
I was
behind Robbie Kearns.
So you saw the whole thing unfold.
So I saw it unfold. Sorry?
Buck was the name of the horse.
Oh, right. Robbie Kearns. And without over-dramatising it, I thought Robbie was dead.
Oh, jeez.
That's how serious it was at the time, I thought. Because he had blood coming out his ears.
Oh.
And he was unconscious. So I'm like...
Wow.
Clyde went down too, from memory.
I didn't see Brad. But I was there with... Robbie Kearns, so I was sort of first on the scene, and I was, my heart was racing at a million miles an hour.
I don't want to trivialise it. I was there covering it. I remember it clearly. I was sitting under a tree writing this beautiful colour piece about the flora and the fauna and the nature and getting back to grassroots.
It was a Kangaroo Valley, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kangaroo Valley. Next minute, a horse goes by. No one on it. Next minute, another one goes by. And then there's ambulances. And my little beautiful story, which is so warm and fuzzy, turned into this page one drama.
Did you ever get that story in that you'd already written up?
I can't remember. Point? I think I might have, but it might have had to been tweaked a little bit.
Now, you know what, though, Bulldog? I know one of the stories you're going to have written this year.
What's that?
Because they're going out of town. So they'll assemble a group of locals.
The butcher.
And you will have the headline, $20 million worth of talent up against $5,000.
You're referring to a game of...
there'll be a...
Contact.
Yeah.
Mini contact.
Yeah.
And normally the local teams...
A simulated game.
Correct.
Against... numbers from the local footy team, and you'll have the mechanic, and you'll have the bloke that works down the road in the butcher shop.
The candlestick maker.
Yeah, all that. And you'll say they get paid $30 a game. And then they'll have the total of what this team is worth against the State of Origin team. I can see it now.
You love this story.
Because you write it every year.
I remember once in camp, he actually came in, saw me write it, and started trying to tell me what professions to put in for these players.
That's a lie.
Put in a butcher. Mate, put in an architect.
Yeah. Oh, you love that story. And if you write it this year, I'm going to give it to you.
I'm going to write it just for you.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. So you're going to have to work harder this year for our State of Origin.
Have you ever been a
candlestick maker? can't say I have.
No. What did you have? Sure plumber? Plumber? Builder? What else? Builder?
Yeah. Plumber. Oh, chef?
Chef, yeah.
Yeah, they'd get a start.
There was an abattoirs around the place. You worked at the Abbeys. Yeah.
What? Taxi driver. Uber driver.
Uber driver.
Yeah. Train driver. There's plenty.
This text, put Robbie Kearns on Foxy Cleopatra. There you go, Loz. No name to that one. Waiting very patiently, though, is Justine. Morning, Justine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, thank you.
What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I'm just sort of thought this is a good day to ring up. I'm actually sitting in the staff room at Junee High School, Laurie's old hometown.
Oh, what are you doing there, Justine?
So I work for the Department of Education and I travel across New South Wales delivering a mental health program to year 9 and 10 kids.
Yep.
So today we find ourselves for the second week back at Junee High. We've got another week here next week. And we were out at Billabong High yesterday and Cooleman High School, or Cooleman Central School tomorrow morning. So I guess I'm just ringing to give a bit of a shout out to the great kids at Junee High and like how valuable this program is for these kids in these rural towns.
Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about that? Sorry, can you tell us a little bit about it, Justine?
Yeah, so it's a 3-week program. It's called Youth Aware of Mental Health. Yep. And I guess the main focus of the program is recognising when a mate is struggling and how you would help that friend.
Yep.
And also we offer them like different support services that they could reach out to, which like obviously in a town like Junee, there's not a lot for the young kids other than going into Wagga. But a lot of it is around New South Wales based services that they could be sitting at home and making that phone call or getting on an app, getting on a website and just reaching out for help, whether it's for themselves or whether it might be for a friend or for a family member. So it's a pretty powerful program and massive value in coming out to these, you know, rural towns and being able to work with these young kids who are welcome us with open arms, as does do the schools, and we've been treated like royalty arriving at Junee High School.
Justine, what you're doing is meritorious, but someone at that school, someone at that school's got a lot to answer for in terms of Laurie's education, or lack thereof.
Maybe not the current principal.
Justine, just look at the honours board.
Okay, well, it won't be under academic, it'll be under sport.
I'll certainly go and have a look.
Justine,
I don't think I'd be up there.
I guarantee you he's not under the list where it says ducks up the top.
Go for it, Justine.
Any honour board's a good board, that's for sure.
That's true.
And look, I just wanted to give a shout out to my brothers as well, who are mad avid listeners and encouraged me to call in this morning. I know that they'll be listening. And in another little twist, we actually interviewed my son, Jed Drew, a few months ago, who's an upcoming A-League player.
Okay, yes. Yep, I vaguely remember that. So, awesome. And doing great stuff there, Justine, in the Riverina and out there with the mental health program. We really appreciate you calling in and letting us know about it.
Thank you, and I really appreciate you taking the call. And, we got to 92 schools across New South Wales last year, so lots of kids benefiting from listening to this great message.
Good on you, Justine.
Thanks, fellas. Have Thank a super you. Day.
Take it easy.
Great stuff.
These people do some good things, don't
Jed
they? Because mental health is big in regional areas because, as Mido and I both know, being from the country, a lot of people suffer mental health. And people feel like they can't talk to others. So the more we can encourage men in particular, or young boys and girls, to be able to communicate their problems and issues, and there's always an answer. There's always an answer.
John, morning.
Morning again, boys. Thanks for having me on. 2 mornings in a row. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Go for it.
Dean, I'd like to talk to you about your column, mate, regarding Latrell Mitchell.
Sure.
look, I put it this way. If some of the comments, some of the people that you see on social media and the comments that they make regarding Latrell are attending football games, then there is a racist element behind the buoy of Latrell. Someone brought up a thing about Wally Lewis. Well, I'll go a little bit more recent. Josh Maguire. I mean, he was one of the most niggly type of players, always involved in unsavoury incidents. How come he wasn't booed from left, right to centre? There's definitely an element there in a minority. The only problem with it, especially on social media, is that minority is very loud and can shoot down people who try to defend Latrell. Like myself, I've copped it off them. And I find these people hypocrites, mate, to be honest with you, because they turn around and say that athletes shouldn't be involved in politics. And look what Pat Cummins is going through at times as well. But they turn around and bring in things like the result of the referendum and say things like, Latrell, get over it. You lost the referendum. That is a definite racist element when you make comments like that. And if it's filtering onto football fields, we've now got a problem.
John, I think there's an irreverent way that Australians act. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We like to have a bit of a joke at each other's expense, and we have a good time. And booing opposition players at a footy game isn't new, but I just feel that this one's going a little bit past that. I think that cheekiness has gone, and there's, as I said earlier, there's just a bit of a sinister side to this one.
Yeah, definitely. There's venom behind it. Let's put it this way. And I hope the NRL keeps a close eye on it, because I spoke about this with the boys the other day, and we don't need an Adam Goods incident in our game. And it would be a shame to lose a personality like Latrell. I mean, he's a personality. He's different. And we need different people in our game.
Appreciate your call as always, John. We've got Gavin. G'day, Gavin.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Go for it.
Just quickly, did anyone happen to catch the technology that they showed on the back page last night in regards to running through the line in the obstruction?
I missed that, but we've had a couple of texts about it saying that Dylan Edwards would have got there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, my question is...
Well, he might have got there. He wouldn't...
Would he have made an effective tackle? Exactly, yeah.
Well, okay. So when the referee sends it up to the bunker regarding a possible penalty try... The bunker will come back sometime saying, in our opinion, he may or may not have got there. So how's it any different in this respect?
I don't know. But what I will say, I don't know what happened last night. All right. But if you're two or three defenders in, all right, from where an obstruction happens in the line, all right, where the obstruction happens in the line, and the ball goes out, and then they come back in and run through where a guy was not obstructed, but he was three players infield. Should that try be taken away from the team? Because he could have got there?
It's all a matter of opinion, but then the technology they showed last night, in particular with Dylan Edwards, they just said, prior to the collision, he was travelling at 21 kilometres an hour. And if he continued to travel 21 kilometres an hour across field, he actually would have been there to make the tackle.
And I think it was Joey Mano, if he steps back inside and he's going at that speed and he can't pull up, is he going to make an effective tackle and stop the try?
It's going to be an arm tackle.
It's not
100% agree. But I just want to know, what is the difference between that incident and then possibly where they're ruling on a penalty try when they say, in our opinion, he may or may not have got there? The obstruction rule is black and white, but the penalty try situation seems to be in our opinion.
Mm. Well, Gav, this is what I thought. I thought it was black and white, but I heard Graeme Innesley say that there is some discretion there. And in their opinion, they didn't use discretion in that case. Mm. So... I think they have got the opportunity to look at it and come up with a conclusion, not just black and white, but look at it and go, you know what, he possibly wouldn't have got there. But if you score and I run past my centre, all right? So I run past my centre, but a player, two defenders in. So second rower usually plays four men in and the centre's two men in, all right? So if someone obstructs 10 metres out from the line, the four-man defender, and I'm the attacking player, and I get to the outside of the other centre that's defending me, and I beat him and I score, should that try be taken off the attacking team?
Laurie,
should that try be taken off the attacking team? He was going to have nothing to do with it, but quite possibly, under this technology, could have got across there. Like, are you seriously going to take...
If common sense prevails...
Common sense would tell you no.
Correct.
It'd be different if he came back in through the space that he was denied the opportunity to close down. But if it happens two players out, I don't get that. Different if you say maybe 50 metres or 60 metres from the try line, but 10 metres from the try line.
Does it get murky, Laws, when we have some discretion, some black and white?
Well, this is what I thought. I thought it was all black and white, but I heard them say there's discretion allowed. Yeah.
Steve Hewlett, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Good morning, everyone. I know time is on the wing. Sam Kavanagh is going to join us. KOB running as one of the faves in the feature at Newcastle. And Sam will bring us the latest with his cancer battle as well. Of course, he was diagnosed around July last year, and I think he was told at the time he doesn't have long to live, but he's bloody resilient, isn't he, Sam Kavanagh? He's going to join me. Also, Ron Quinton, he's got a very well-bred filly for Ray Gall that's trialled really well, Rantan. What's interesting, her mother won her first race at Newcastle over 900. That's what she's attempting to do today. So Ron Quinton will be joining us, and David Fowler's going to speak to our leading trainer, Tony Gollan, and hopefully Kelly Sweeter, Matthew Dunn as well. So a lot this morning, right throughout the morning, Racing HQ.
Okay, great stuff.
Thanks.
We'll catch you shortly. Thank you, Steve, on Radio Tab. Dave Stanley coming up on Sky Sports Radio. How are you, DS?
Very good, Middo, and looking forward to Steve's show, Radio Tab. All those interviews will be up on the Sky Racing website for New South Wales ACT. We've got Danny Williams to kickstart the show. Mitch Kelm with the latest in news from the Daily Telegraph. Helen Reid's going to join me from the Bureau of Meteorology. We're going to find out exactly what this forecast means because it's chopping and changing every time we check it for the weekend. Les Bridge is joining us, Joe Pride and Kieran Maher. And later on today, we're going to have some chats with a few trainers that are heading to Newcastle today, of course, as Steve just touched on, that provincial midway it is a qualifier for the final, but it's the wild card. So a lot of good horses going around today late at Newcastle. And boys, just looking at the figures this morning, I've spoken with the traders and had a look at what we're holding thus far with these feature races. So this is just since final field went through for the big group ones on the weekend, and it's in regards to what's been taken dollar-wise. So far in the Doncaster, clearly the best backed in regards to just dollars held is Celestial Legend, then Militarize, then Obamburamai, then Detonator Jack. We keep seeing large bets each way on Detonator Jack. Don't know if people are just playing the rain card there and looking at his form. Of course, he won the gong on a heavy eight very, very well. He's second up. He's got good second up form. And he's one of these horses that's being trained at Newcastle with Kieran Maher. Of course, Kieran Maher, and I might chat to him about this, he's obviously got the Bong Bong set up, but he's also got a set up there at Newcastle, up near the beach on the bay. So he's got horses all over. So it takes away, I guess, the thought process of this horse maybe having to travel from Victoria, etc. Then Southport Tycoon. Since we went final field, there hasn't hardly been a cent for another Will. A lot of people on, obviously, in big odds in the all-in market. But Celestial Legends holding 10 times more than what we hold on another Will currently in that final field market. And then also, boys, I know it's 9 o'clock and you've got to go, but just on that TJ Smith, the best backed runner at the moment is Johnny Rocker. Of course, it's the horse that flashed home behind Imperatriz the other night there at the Valley, or the other day, I should say. Then Imperatriz, I Wish I Win an Aft Cabin. We'll keep getting those updated totals and what people are backing throughout the week, boys.
Beautiful stuff. Bulldog, thanks for filling in at short notice today too, by the way.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to go home and ice my bruises.
Have a great day, everyone.